Judas, I'm going to look at John chapter 5 again. And John chapter 5 is something I was speaking about 3 weeks ago now. We were looking at how Jesus healed a man who was crippled by the pool of Siloam. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you would open our minds and our hearts to hear, to see, to feel what you want us to see, hear, and feel. Speak into our situations and into our experiences, and let your word guide us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. John chapter 5, let me briefly remind you of what we looked at a couple of weeks ago when I was last speaking. So it's one of the big Jewish feasts, and Jesus walks near the temple and he passes a place called the Pool of Siloam. And we're told, and we looked at it last time, how Jesus went to a man. The man did not go to him. Verse 6 of John 5 says, Jesus saw a crippled man lying by the pool and he went to him. So he's walking by and there are thousands. Thousands of people there. And there are hundreds around him. And yet Jesus goes, I'm going to sneak into the middle of an aisle. And he goes and he just goes, I want to heal you, Joel. He goes up and he points him out. How would you feel? How would that impact you? Loads of people around. They all have needs. And yet this man, this stranger, goes right up to you. The man wasn't calling out to Jesus. The man hadn't traveled to hear Jesus. The man didn't queue up to be healed by Jesus. He was looking over there at the water because he thought he would be healed in the water, which was really a superstition. So everyone is looking that way, but Jesus came from that way. Doesn't he do that in your life? You and I. We're taken up with a problem, with a situation. We say, if only my boss would give me a raise. If only my boss, my supervisor, would change his attitude. If only I could get on with my husband and wife better. If only I wasn't so sick and the doctor gave me better medicine. If only, and I understand it, I do the same. We look that way, but sometimes Jesus is coming another way. So the man sees Jesus and he hears him. So Jesus went to him. He didn't go to Jesus. Jesus listened to him. He asked the man, do you want to be healed? And this is what the man said. I've nobody help me into the pool. And someone else always gets in there first anyway. So see, he's looking that way. Maybe you're looking to the left or you're looking to the right, but we need to look up. So he's looking over there and the words of life are there. He's looking over to that superstition for healing and the one who can heal him is here. And he starts complaining. That's okay. He poured out his complaint. It's very biblical. It's good to come before God and pour out your complaint. If you think your relationship with God or my relationship with God is reduced to us putting on a fake smile and saying some kind of long words, that's not prayer. Prayer is your heart connecting to God. Prayer is connecting with God. And so this man pours out his complaint and Jesus listens to him. In every marriage, in every friendship, in every parent-child relationship, I would even say in a work relationship, in a school relationship, even at times with neighbours, we need to listen. Would anyone say amen?
Amen.
You need to be listened to. We all do. A lot of people would give their eye teeth today for someone to genuinely, without any agenda, listen. And it's so therapeutic because we get stuff off our chest and when we bring it from the darkness of the storm in our heads or in our hearts and we bring it into the light, we realize it's not as powerful as what we thought it was. So the man pours out his complaint and Jesus listens to him. He goes to him, the only one, and then he listens to him. He goes further, because we saw last time in verse 8, how Jesus healed him. Jesus said to him, verse 8, get up and walk. And the authority, the power, the supernatural presence that was in that declaration stirred the man who didn't walk for 38 years. And he would have felt the power going in to his spindly little legs that hadn't walked in all that time. And what did he do? He took his first steps. Why? Because Jesus healed him. So Jesus heals him and he starts to walk. Remember, only one person out of all the thousands there was healed. Would you think it's fair to say he was favored?
Yes.
What does the word blessed mean? Happy, fortunate, to be envied. The man was blessed. God showed him favor over all of the others. I would suggest that the thousands of others there at that Jewish feast, around that huge pool that was like two Olympic-sized swimming pools put together, I would say there was people in desperate pain. God helped them. Desperate pain. Really sick. The darkness of death was close to some of them. And yet Jesus just chose him. He just healed one. So this man was favored. And verse 8 then also tells us that Jesus guided him. And if you remember, last time I was speaking, I was sharing how he had a bedroll like a stretcher with him. And Jesus in the middle said, get up, lift up your bedroll or your stretcher and walk. Why did he do that? Because he knew that if he left that bedroll on the ground, the guy would probably take a few steps and he'd look back to the old comfort. That old comfort. Sometimes we look to a bottle for a bit of comfort, don't we? And we shouldn't. Sometimes we look to a substance. We look to a person who's not good for us. Who does strange things to us. It's not good. And Jesus said, take up your bedroll and walk. So it wasn't their calling to him. I don't know if you remember, I bought along a deck chair that day. Anyone remember?
Yes.
I bought my lovely deck chair. And I was sharing how when I'm working in my home office, if the sun is shining and the deck chair is out in the decking, it calls me, Dom, Dom, come out to me. Don't be working on the world. The people are grand. Come to me, Tom. Chill out with me. I tell you, it was a hard day yesterday. Wasn't the weather gorgeous? If the sun was pouring down, and in our decking it's quite sheltered and you're facing the sun with a bit of a view, and I had put the deck chair out there by faith last Monday, and God heard my prayer, and we had sunshine after sunshine, but I had to work on the word yesterday for the people of the church. And I started working on the word, and I was sitting at the desk, and I was writing, and I was online, and I was getting this word ready. And the deck chair was out there saying, Tom, come out. Your body shape will fit mine just perfectly. You and me, Tom, come, the sun is shining. And I said, get behind me, Satan. I will not allow that deck chair to take me away from the word of God. So what did I do? I worked hard on a sunny Saturday to bring the word of God here. Hallelujah! I'm not looking for acclaim, but I'll take it. You know, I'll take it. You see, it's so easy. We all have something that will cause us to go back. You know what your thing is. Everyone has one. Might be a fear, might be a person, could be anything. And so Jesus guided the man. What brilliant advice. Take up that thing and walk with it. Because if you look behind and it's lying there, you're going to go right back into it. So he guides the man. Let's move on from that. So he heals him. He goes to him. The man didn't go to him. Jesus sought him out. Jesus found him. Jesus listened to him. Jesus healed him. Jesus gave him brilliant advice. And then a crowd gathered around, and we see that Jesus gave him space. Sometimes the best thing you can do in a marriage, in a friendship, is for a little while, give the other person space. Just let them work it out themselves. And Jesus did what a great friend would do. He gave him a bit of space. If you're in a relationship, man, woman, you're in a relationship, or even if you're in a good friendship, and you're a controlling type, and you're constantly demanding of the other person, that relationship will not last. Give them a bit of space sometimes. I'm not saying go off and spread your love around. I'm not talking about that. Just give them a little bit of space. So Jesus withdrew from him because of the crowd gathering around. And they all wanted to see this man who they knew. He was part of the furniture, 38 years, and they all gathered around. So Jesus gave him space. He withdrew. And then, of course, the Jewish leaders, they knew something was up. And the Jewish leaders come over, scribes, Sadducees, Pharisees, and they basically almost attack the man. Verse 12, who told you to take up your bedroll on the Sabbath? The Jewish leaders asked the man. Who told you that? Who? Isn't it interesting they don't say, who healed you? Isn't that the real story here? Isn't the real story is that this man was healed? And instead of saying healed, they were taken up with, who told you to take up your bedroll? Why? Because in their heads, that was breaking the Sabbath. They were legalistic rule keepers. That's why Jesus said another time of these guys, he said, you tithe your 10%, you tithe your herbs, mint and cumin, and you forget the weighty matters of the law, how we are to love one another. It's all about little rule keeping and not about the person. And actually, in the Old Testament, this wasn't God's heart at all. There were no rules. If you were to save a life, if you were to bring blessing into someone's life, the Sabbath wasn't meant for that. Man was not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. Would anyone say hallelujah? And so the Jewish leaders ask him about that. And what did the man say? He said, I don't know. I don't know his name. I don't know who he was. And then what happens is everyone goes away. And a bit like yesterday's news, it's front news on the newspaper one day, and it's in the fish and chip shop the next day, wrapping up your chips. People moved on. And when the furore, when the drama dies down, what do we see? Jesus went to him a second time. Verse 14. Afterwards, Jesus went and found him again in the temple grounds. Brothers, sisters, the God we love can find us a second time.
Yeah.
If you've loved God and if you've lost your way, or you've just been taken up with the busyness of life, or the cares of family, or your health, or your job, or whatever, it is so easy to drift away. I'm here today to declare the God we love can find you again.
Amen.
In fact, I am going to pray here and now for those of us who know we want Jesus to find us again. Could I ask everyone, I'm not going to call anyone up, can we close our eyes for just 60 seconds? Close our eyes. Nobody can see this. Everyone on and off stage, close their eyes. If you want to say to the Lord, all I can see are shadows. If you want to say, Lord, find me again today, in total privacy, just slip up your hand and then take it down again. See your hand and yours, and yours, yours. Yours, 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 yours. Okay, you can take down your hands, guys. I think that's about 10 or 11 people. I'm going to pray. And if you're in your heart, you can pray with me. But particularly those 11 or 12 people, just make sure this is for you. Thank you, Jesus, that that you're the God of the second chances. Thank you, Lord, that you do not leave us as orphans. And even when we are not faithful, you are faithful. And so we invite you, O God, to find us again here today, as it happens in Grace Church in McCurtain Street, Cork. Here we are, Lord. Come and find us again. We want to connect again with you in a life-giving way. Here I am, Lord, in Jesus' name. Can we all in solidarity say amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. He's the God of second chances. So Jesus didn't just go to him one time. He went to him a second time. What else did he do? Jesus shared words of life to him. He gave him words of life. He says in verse 14 at the end of it, "See, now you're well, or now you're healed. Don't sin that way again, so that nothing worse might happen to you." Usually, if you get sick, or if I get sick, it's because we live in a broken world, and it's because of the fall and the rebellion of man, our bodies are not perfect. One day they will be perfect, hallelujah. But right now they're not. Praise God that God can intervene and heal your body and heal my body, hallelujah. But sometimes we can get sick and it's not our fault. But there are other times when it is our fault. And you know that, and I know that. Some people bring trouble on themselves. In fact, I'm going to say, most of the trouble in most of our lives, we bring on ourselves. Would you say that's fair? That's what I believe. One or two others. A lot of the times we bring trouble on ourselves. Not necessarily sickness, but sometimes sickness. And Jesus is clearly saying to the man, don't do that again. The man obviously knew exactly what Jesus was saying, even though it happened 38 years ago. Was he violent? Did he love injuring others and he got injured? Was it a sexually transmitted infection? It could have been anything. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But what it does tell us clearly, and what Jesus says, is that you need to repent. Don't go back to that way of living. May God give all of us strength to not to go back. Who'll say amen?
Amen.
We're not going back, because back is death. But forward is life. Hallelujah. To go forward with Jesus is life. So what is he doing? Jesus gives him words of life. The Bible says, if you rebuke, correct, advise a wise person, they love you. If you advise, rebuke, correct a foolish person, they'll hate you. Be very careful who you advise. Because if they're a fool, you've just made an enemy. And they won't listen anyway. Surround yourself with wise people. So that if someone comes to me and they correct me, and I know they're coming from a good place and they want what's best for me, praise God. Honestly, as God is my judge, I welcome that. We should all welcome it. Now, if they're coming with an agenda, that's a different thing. We're not foolish. But Jesus gave him words of life. He gave him the best advice that man could get to live a happy, healthy life for another 38 years. Here's my question, and here's the statement I believe in. When we study the Bible to fully get what it says, we have to read it not only what is said, but what is not said. Because when I read this through time and time again, nowhere do I hear the words, "Thank you." Nowhere does this man thank God for going to him, for coming to him a second time, for listening to him, for healing him, for giving him great advice, for guiding his future. Nowhere does he say thank you. Some people are like that. They're so taken up with themselves, they don't even think to say thank you. And how much more so when we don't give thanks to God?
Yes.
Let me ask you a question. Can you think of one thing, just one thing, in your life, that's a blessing.
Yes.
Can you think of something?
Yes. Yep.
It might be your health, it might be a person, it might be your home, it might be a friend, it might be your career or whatever. If there's one thing in your life that you can say thank you to the Lord, let's take 60 seconds and give thanks today. You know why? Because it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in all things give thanks. Let's give thanks for a blessing. Who's got a blessing in their lives? Would you put up your hand if you can think of one blessing? I'm not saying you don't have challenges. I'm not saying you don't have prayers, but you can think of a blessing. Would you stand very briefly? Can I encourage you? Just put your hands before you and just in the palm of your hands, symbolically, put that person or that blessing in your life. I know you may have other challenges, but Heavenly Father, we thank you for this blessing.
Amen.
We don't want to be like this man who never said thank you. So here, at 25 to 1, on Sunday the 6th of April, in the year of our Lord, 2025, we gave thanks in the house of God for that blessing in our lives. And we do it with a grateful heart in Jesus' name. If you agree with that prayer, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's take our seats again. This man never said thank you. And what does he do? Jesus goes away. Jesus would have left him without hearing any thanks whatsoever. And not only does he not give thanks, he does something rotten. Verse 15, that man went away and he reported to the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had healed him. He didn't have to go back to them. The crowd was gone. The drama was over. He was in the temple grounds with his little spindly legs. He could still have walked away home and thanked God every step of the way. And he could have withdrawn from that situation. Oh no, he goes in, he searches out the Jewish leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he goes to look for them and he said, I got the name of the guy who told me carry my bedroll. I got the name of the guy who healed me. His name is Jesus of Nazareth. He betrayed the Lord. He went back and he reported on him. He grasped, he squealed, whatever word you want to use. What did that result in? Verse 16 tells us, because Jesus healed this man on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. This man who was healed ratcheted up the persecution, the opposition, the hassle, the trouble in Jesus' life and ministry, and he needn't have done it. He is, if you will, a foreshadow, a type of what was to come and what we call Easter week when Judas went and betrayed the Lord. You see, brothers and sisters, some people will betray others because of fear. Maybe this man did that. Proverbs 29:25 says, being afraid of people is a trap. The fear of man is a snare, the King James puts it. If you're more afraid of men or of women, if you're afraid of them, you're probably in a trap and it won't go well for you. Fear God more than you fear men.
Amen.
I promise you, I've lived a while. Fashions and trends change all the time. The people who today are celebrated were imprisoned not that long ago. And I promise you further, the fashion is going to change again. People are fickle. Who will we please? Will we please the one who never changes? Or will we please the crowd who'll change like that and who'd spit in you as soon as they'd help you? Who will we serve? Will you serve Jesus? Would you say amen?
Amen.
Could you say it louder?
Amen.
Could you say it with passion?
Amen.
Could you say it with meaning?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We serve the one who never changes. We sang it at our Awaken service. We sang that beautiful song and we said, my house is built on you. Our house is built on the rock. that's on firm foundation. It's not built on shifting sand. The shifting sand of the crowd's preferences will come and go, but his word will last forever. People being afraid of other people is a trap. Or we can see betrayal because of money. And we know that. What will you give me? Give me, 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 narcissist. Me, me, it's all about me. What will you give me if I hand Jesus over to you? Judas asked. So they gave him 30 pieces of silver. How did that work out for you, Judas? Did you enjoy that? No, he didn't. He ended up committing suicide. People who are obsessed with themselves never have a good life. But he betrayed because he loved money, which is the root of what, anyone tell me? All evil. All evil. You can betray because of lust. You can betray because of a whole load of things. But these are two examples. Here's the thing, brothers and sisters. The whole crowd were looking at the water for healing, but the real healer was hidden in plain sight. The whole crowd were looking to the right and to the left instead of looking to Jesus. Maybe you have spent years looking to the right and looking to the left. Can I appeal to you? Look to Jesus. He is the answer. He is the answer to your questions. He is the one who will heal your broken heart, your broken mind, your broken body, your broken soul. Maybe he's been hidden in plain sight, but today, brothers, sisters, he's knocking at the door. And maybe he's knocking at your door. Let me conclude with one last thing. I asked you at the beginning, would it be fair to say that you're in a place like this because someone once prayed for you? In 2 Kings 13, we read that the enemy was attacking the people of God. The children of Israel were being attacked from Syria. Is anything new under the sun? And the king was having a bit of a breakdown. So he goes to the prophet Elisha. He didn't know what to do. And Elisha guided him. And Elisha said, there's a window open here. It's facing towards the enemy, facing towards Damascus, facing to the east. He said, fire arrows out that window. And the king shot 6 arrows out that window. And these were symbols of the prayers that they were praying because the odds against them were horrific. But you see, Elijah saw beyond the physical constraints. He saw the spiritual reality. And so the king fired 6 arrows. And do you know what happened then? Then Elisha, the prophet, said to the king, I want you symbolically to strike the ground. In other words, to release the power of the prayers. And the king went. He struck the ground. And you'd read it and you'd go, oh, praise God, I'd love to be at that meeting. But the prophet was angry with him. And he said, you shot 6 arrows, but you only struck the ground 3 times. You should have struck it 6 times. Because of that, you only have half a victory. You see, the man that we just read about, his body was healed, but his soul wasn't. His soul wasn't healed. In actual fact, he was in a worse state, but the circumstances revealed his attitude. Brothers and sisters, God doesn't want to half heal your life. God doesn't want to do a good work in your life that is only half a job. Remember the man who was blind and Jesus prayed with him and he said, can you see? And the man said, I can see men walking around, but they're like trees. And Jesus put the spittle on his eyes and then he gave him a full healing. God wants to fully heal your relationships. God wants to fully heal your broken heart. God wants to fully heal your mental anxiety. He is a God who totally heals. He doesn't do half a job. If we allow him, will you allow him to continue the good work he started in your life so that you release the prayers? You know, when I was 19, I was a teenager and I became a Christian. I met people in their 80s who had been praying for God to move in this city. And when I look around today and I see churches like this filled to overflowing and so many people worshiping God and so many people getting baptized in water and filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm thinking, you know what? We are releasing the power of the prayers that were said for generations here. People prayed for this city, and you and I are living in the blessing of it. Hallelujah. People prayed for you, and the fruit of their prayers is you're here. People prayed for me, and I am here today, in part because they had took the time to pray for me. Brothers and sisters, we need to strike the ground and release the fullness of what God wants for our lives. Is your marriage half restored? May God fully restore it. Who'll say amen?
Amen.
Have you got some healing in your body? God wants to heal all your body. Hallelujah. Sometimes you don't get panic attacks and anxiety, but other times you do. God wants to deliver you from it all. Hallelujah. Ben, let's come up. Will we stand? We are going to sing this gorgeous song called The Goodness of God. But I want to pray that nobody here is satisfied with half a healing. Nobody here is satisfied with some of the prayer answered. But we have faith to believe God will answer all of it. Let's strike the ground in our lives. This man accepted half a healing, and because he did, he ended up betraying the Lord. You and I are called to higher things. And you know what? You're better than that. I'm better than that. God is his hand in your life. Who will say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Let's sing this song, The Goodness of God, Faithful God. Talitha's going to sing it, and then we'll pray. Talitha.
I love you, Lord. For your mercy never fails me. All my days I'll be held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up, I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good.
Your goodness is running after me. It's pursuing me. God's goodness is chasing you and chasing me. If you've seen some answer to your prayer, but you know there's more yet to be answered in your prayer, I'm going to give the opportunity to leave your seat and to come forward where we can pray a full healing, a full blessing, a full deliverance, a full provision. He is Yahweh. He is Rapha. He is Jireh. He is El Shaddai. But we're going to sing about God's goodness chasing us. So as we sing that, I invite you, if you want, to come to the top where we're going to lay hands and pray over you. Talitha.
I
just to let the people behind us come forward. Now you know how God has partially answered your prayer, but you equally know there is more he needs to do. And God knows that. But sometimes he withholds the full blessing because he wants to see how eager and how hungry and how genuine we are. So by leaving your seat, you're voting. This is like voting. So you know what you've been left short. The healing, the relationship, God's provision. Maybe it's financial, maybe it's emotional, maybe it's spiritual. So put in the palm of your hands that prayer. Lift it up to God. He's listening. He's watching. He sees that you're serious because you've left your seat. So we hand it over to God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Lord, will your goodness chase us? Don't leave us with half a healing. Don't leave this partially done. We strike the ground now, O God, and we release the blessing of the fullness of the prayers that have been said so far. And we pray, O God, that the prayers now is us striking the ground again. Six arrows have been shot, but God, we want to strike the ground six times. And so we come forward by faith and pray a release into our experience, into our lives, into our families, into our workplaces, into our finances. Who say amen?
Amen.
We pray release into our health. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We pray release into our families. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I have seen letters over some people's heads with red writing on it. And maybe I'm too old, but back in the day, if you got a letter with red ink, it meant you were on your last warning that you didn't pay something. God wants to say to some people today, I will provide financially for you. Don't panic and give up hope. Nobody needs to know anyone's personal stuff here, but I know that God is going to turn that red writing and he's going to erase it. That warning is going to say fully paid. And I'm not just conjuring up some magic here, I'm just declaring your father owns the cattle on a thousand hills. One of the names of God is Jehovah Jireh. The God who what? Provides. You will not go hungry. Once I was young, now I am old, David said. I have never seen the children of the righteous beg for bread. Never seen it. Can we close our eyes? And if you have a financial need, lift both hands up. Just lift it up to God. God knows. God knows. We release the resources that you have for us, O God. Let the blessing come from a place we would never have imagined. We pray miraculously, O God, you would supply. You would be our Jehovah Jireh, and for each of our brothers and sisters who have that need here, we call out to you, O God, send a fish with a coin in its mouth, and let my brothers and sisters be like Peter and see their needs met. We pray that today in the name of Jesus, and God's people said,
amen.
God is speaking to someone else, and this is a prophecy, and this is a promise. But you've got to respond to it if it's you. I don't know who it is. God is saying, you felt some anxiety today. You felt a bit of a panic attack today. God's promise, and it has to be in your heart, what happened today will never happen to you again. And the reason I'm sharing it is the scripture about the army of Egypt chasing the Israelites. And God opened the waters, separated the waters. And the Egyptians chased them. Not the goodness of God, the enemy. And what happened? God said, look back. you will never see that enemy attack you again. If you've got the courage to respond, you've got to lift up your hands, because I want to lay hands on you. Okay. Thank you, everyone else who's come up. Can those guys who put up their hands stay here while the others go back to their seats? Maybe you were down the back and you know it's you. Today, we're going to pray and believe that those panic attacks will drown like Pharaoh and his chariots and his armies. Praise God. Michael, Denise, Dara, Paddy and Juvie here, perhaps not. Let's just lay hands on each. Just come forward, guys. Can I ask everyone in the congregation, we're coming towards the close, just point a hand towards them. Come, Holy Spirit. And we declare today, the one we know, the one we love. God, you are the one who drowned Pharaoh and his army. We strike the ground today, oh God, and we pray that the panic and the anxiety that has plagued our brothers and our sisters, we ask you, God, for full healing in the name of Jesus. I don't hear too many amens. Drown in the waters of the Red Sea. Sisters, brothers, walk into your inheritance and believe. The goodness of God is chasing you into your mind, into your emotions, so that that panic never, never plagues you again. We drown, we drown, we drown it in the name of Jesus. We strike the ground to release the power of the Holy Spirit, so that all of your thoughts will be blessed and will not attack you in the future. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Who will say amen? Amen? Praise God. Let's give these guys a round of applause. Well done, guys, for having the courage and the humility. We're going to sing about the goodness of God chasing us, but I want a volunteer or two before we do. Let's keep standing. It says that the goodness of God chases us. Let's see what a good chase is like. Can I have two people who will run around this hall, one chasing the other? Who's willing to do that? You got to be able to run. Let's see what a chase is like as we sing. Up you come, we've got one. We need another one. Who else is going to run? Well done, Robert. Robert and Chris. Robert, you're going to be the guy running, and Chris is going to chase you, and you just run around in a circle. You run around down that way and this way. We're going to sing, Chris, up you come. Christopher. This is Robert. You're going to chase Robert in a good way, okay? In a good way. You're not out to get his money, you want to bless him. So we're going to give Robert just a few seconds to go in just a moment. Start running, Robert. Start chasing. Let's sing, His goodness is running after you. Talitha, keep running, guys.
Your goodness is running out.
Seems low. When anxiety knocks on your door, remember the chase. Anxiety and poverty might be chasing you, but God's goodness is chasing you even more. Amen. Open the door to the goodness of God. Close the door to the lies of the devil.
Hallelujah.
So I'm going to close in prayer, and I'm going to pray that you and I will believe the truth this week. And not the lie that would try and steal your peace and your joy. So if that's your prayer, I invite you to lift your hands. Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight and Monday morning and throughout the week and the watches of the night, that we would remember your goodness is chasing us. We would remember that you don't do a partial healing, you do a full healing. That we don't have to fear man and betray you in any way. We will love you and confess you before men.
Hallelujah.
And as we do that, we get even more courage, and it is a virtuous circle. So we pray into everyone's future for the week ahead. And we pray the blessing of God chasing you and the lies of the devil captured and shown for what they are. We strike the ground and we release the prayers and the blessings that come from them, even today and right throughout the week until we meet again, in Jesus' mighty name. And one last time, God's people said,
amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.